stand with me this morning. We're reading in the book of Mark, the 6th chapter, starting at the 45th verse. Mark chapter number 6, verse number 45. Mark 6 and 45. Amen. Why don't you just turn around and tell someone, I don't know what you came to do, but I come to praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now don't lie when you say it. Amen. Don't lie. Amen. Did you come to praise the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Is he worthy of praise and honor? Amen. Why don't we do that? Let's just lift a hand toward heaven right now. Let's give the Lord a praise. Can we? Hallelujah. Father, we do praise you. We do magnify and glorify you. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord from now and forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Thank God, thank God. Amen. Let me ask you a couple questions. How many feel better than you did about a minute ago? Amen. Isn't praise powerful? Amen. How many felt the atmosphere change when we started praising the Lord? Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Mark 6 and 45, if you have it, say amen. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when he was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I want to preach to you this morning, he's greater than your storm. Amen. He is greater than your storm. You believe that? Say amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated this morning. But he is greater than your storm. We could probably have a contest here this morning trying to see who's in the biggest storm in the building. Sometimes testimony service is like that. It's almost as a contest to see who's in the biggest storm. So I don't know how big your storm is. I don't know how big the obstacles of your life. You probably think your storm is bigger than your neighbor's. That's usually the way it is. Somebody will come along and tell you what they're going. It's kind of like fish stories, Brother Otis. They'll tell you a fish story, and that's fine, but here, let me tell you my fish story. And we'll listen to somebody talk about their storm and their trial, and then we'll say, but here, let me tell you what I'm going through. So I really don't want to spend time talking to you about the storms this morning as much as I want to talk to you about that he is greater than your storm. It doesn't matter how little, it doesn't matter how big. It may be the greatest storm you've ever imagined. It may be the greatest storm of your life. It does not lessen his power. He is still greater than your storm. The disciples in our text this morning, they had several problems in their life. Number one, they had real troubles. Real troubles. They were in a storm. The wind was contrary. The wind was blowing against them. Everything that they were attempting to do, the wind was holding them back. They had real troubles. Some of you probably have those same problems and troubles this morning. They're not imaginary. They're real. But you see what happens to the disciples. Their real troubles lead them into imaginary troubles. Because when you start having a lot of problems, all of a sudden you start looking for problems. Have you ever been there before? That you were just claiming it. I mean, it started out to be a bad day, so it's got to finish a bad day. I mean, it's been a bad month, so it's going to be a bad year. I mean, it's been a bad year, so this decade is, And so the disciples, they're having real troubles, Brother Polk, but then all of a sudden they start having imaginary troubles because Jesus comes walking on the water, and the Bible says that they suppose it is a spirit. They start imagining that now they've got even more troubles. So sometimes in my life, I have found that I've had real troubles, but I've got to be careful because then I start imagining or just kind of assuming I've got more trouble than I really, really have. Their biggest problem out of all the text is the fact that they had a divine problem and that Jesus was absent from their life. They were in a ship on sea and he was on land. And when Jesus is not in your life, you're headed for trouble. Hear me today. If you're not saved, friend, today is the day to get saved. You need Jesus in your life. Amen. And get me out of this floor, if you would. Bring up the choir a little bit. And if you're young or old, does not matter your age, regardless of what you're going through in life, you need Jesus in your life. Amen. The story tells us, as we began to see the storm come in on the horizon, three things I want to talk to you about today. Number one, what a storm can do to a man. When you start having storms in your life and problems in your life, notice what happens to the disciples. When you're serving God and when you're trying to live for God and you're doing the very best that you possibly can, and then you have storms and troubles in your life, it begins to affect you. Notice what the disciples, the Bible says concerning them. Verse 48, they are toiling in rowing. The first thing that a storm can do to a man, it can cause you to serve without the joy of the Lord. Notice the Bible said that they're just toiling. They're just working. They're struggling. They're laboring and they're going nowhere. They're up against that wind and everything they are attempting to do is being pushed back in their face. When you're praying, then you don't feel like your prayers are going any higher than the ceiling. When the winds of contrary pressure and the winds of trouble and animosity begin to blow back against you, you continue to toil and you continue to row, but sometimes you can serve the Lord without joy. Because of problems and because of adversity, we can lose the joy of the Lord. But the Bible teaches us in the book of Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord, it is our strength. Amen. I don't want to just keep toiling and rowing and working and laboring. Amen. I need the joy of God in my heart. I want the joy of the Lord in my life, like we did just a few moments ago, that the praise of God will be in my life. But I tell you what a storm can do to you. It can steal your joy. It can take your joy. It can take your praise. It can take your peace and your worship away. Way because you're just toiling and you're going nowhere. Then all of a sudden the Bible says they begin to imagine things because they see Jesus and they assume that it is a spirit. So storms can begin to make you imagine things. And we know the church is a caring place full of caring people that are concerned one with another. But when you really get in a storm and you've got problems going on in your life, sometimes people will say things like, well, nobody at the church cares about me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. That nobody there really is willing to lend a hand and help me out. And friend, I know that is so far from the truth, that Christian people and the people of God are the most giving, the most caring, the most consistent people in my life. But you know what the devil would love for you to do is to think the problem is somebody or the church or all kinds of things. And people began to imagine, well, if I could just get a new job, everything will be all right. It's that win mentality. When I get a new job, then I'll be happy. Or when I get a new car, then I'll be happy. Or when I graduate from college, I'm going to be happy. Or when I have children, I'm going to be blessed and content. And when my children leave home, then I'm going to be content and happy. Or when I get older, and when, friend, when will never come, because it's something on the inside. And so people say, well, I'll get a new job. I'll get a new house. I'll get a new church. I'll get a new spouse. I'll get all kinds of new things. But the problem is still the same. And when you begin to imagine things, the next thing that happens, your emotions get all stirred up. For the Bible said they began to cry out for fear. Their emotions get all stirred up. And we preached last week about Cain. And we know we cannot be led by emotions if we're going to serve God faithfully. Matter of fact, another thing a storm can do to your memory, it can cause memory loss. The text that I read in verse number 52, the Bible said that they considered not the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Why is that verse inserted in this story? I can find no reason except for this, that Christ wanted them to remember how powerful he was, that in the midst of that storm, he was not going to let them be destroyed. He was not going to let them go down, but he was going to take care of them. He wanted them to understand that if I provided a miracle where I fed 5,000 men and their families with just a few loaves and a couple of fish, if I did that, surely I can do this. But what a storm does, it makes us forget how good God is. It makes us forget how faithful God has been to us. Every child of God, we can stand up here today and we can talk that God has never failed us, that God has never left us, that God has never forsaken us, that he's been with us on the mountain, he's been with us in the valley, that he's been with us in the dark nights, that he's a healer, that he's a savior, that he's a deliverer, he's a justifier, he's a redeemer. We can talk about how great and good God is. And then the first time a storm comes our way, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I can take another day. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do the same thing you did in the last storm, that you're going to trust him completely, that he said he'd never leave us, and he said he'd never forsake us. Then if my God is powerful enough to take a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish and sit everybody down and feed 15,000 people, amen, then surely he's able to step out on the raging seas and say, peace, be still. Amen. If God is able, amen, to take a man in sin and steeped in sin and lived a life of sin and save him and forgive him of his sins and wash him in that ruby red blood of Calvary and make him a new creature in Christ, and old things are passed away, and he can do all of that, then can he not keep that man? Can he not give that man enough strength to go through the troubles and trials of life? Friend, I say yes. 1,000 times over, yes, yes, yes. That greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But storms make us forget about how powerful our God is. It'll cause memory loss. Amen. But I challenge you right now, think back over your own life right now. Hasn't he done some miraculous things for you? Haven't there been some troubles and trials in your life that you thought, man, I don't know, this might be the end of me? And then you felt that divine hand. I'm preaching to myself in here this morning. And is there anybody you felt like you were going to go down? And then all of a sudden those everlasting arms of God reached down and upheld you. Amen, friend. If he's done that, then he can do this. Amen. I told you I didn't want to talk about the storm. I want to talk about how great he is. Because sometimes there are storms that'll blow your mind. There are storms that are bigger than we can imagine. There are storms that we can't understand, we can't identify, and we can't even measure. But my God is the Alpha and he is the Omega. My God is the first and the last. My God is greater than any storm, any obstacle, any barrier. And in the trials of life, friend, I've got to remember that. Amen. I can't lose hope. I can't start talking about and losing control of my emotions. It's a spirit. Amen. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't let fear get a hold of me. But God has not given
given us a spirit of fear. I said he's not given us a spirit of fear. He's not given us a spirit of depression, but he gave us a spirit of power. I said he gave us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. I'm going to trust him completely, that he promised in his word that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. I said he promised in the word that I'd have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He promised in his word that we can see the right, never see the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He promised in his word that we are more than conquerors, amen, through him that loved us. He promised in his word that no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. He promised in his word that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I said he promised in his word that he's my peace, he's my joy, he is the anchor of my soul. He promised in his word that he's wanting to save whosoever, that he placed no favorites, that he doesn't judge us based on money, creed, or customs. He doesn't judge us based on our degree, our intellect, or our last name, but whosoever calls on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. And the God that made everything that can be seen, the God that without him was not anything made, he loves us enough, Brother Moore. He promised the tabernacle in my flesh. He promised to make us temples of the Holy Ghost. He promised, brothers and sisters, that the joy of the Lord, it can be our strength. Amen. So why is it in storms? When you really start having faith, when you really get to the point where you trust God in the midst of a storm, and you say he's going to work it out, you know what they'll say? Well, you're just an optimist. You're just not a realist. You're not dealing with it. You're denying it. I'm not denying it. I'm not ignoring it. He's in charge. And he promised he'd take care of me. And if I'm doing everything I know to do and I'm in his will. You see, we got to get to the point to where we quit equating storms with being out of the will of God. The disciples had that problem. Man was born blind. Well, who sinned? Somebody had to sin. Somebody had to sin. Who sinned? Him or his mom? Him and his dad? Who sinned? Nobody sinned. But that the works of God might be manifest. Who told them to get in this boat to go to the other side? Jesus. Do you believe Jesus loved them? How many believe Jesus had an undying love, an eternal love for these disciples? But he told them to get in a boat knowing they were going into a storm. So why is it when we get in a storm, we start doubting the love of God? Why is it when we get in a storm, well, God's playing favorites. You know how it is for the Morey family. We always come up on the short end of the stick. You know how it is. That's just our lot in life. It always works out for the Morgans, but the Moreys, we come from the wrong side of the tracks. You liked that, didn't you? Isn't that amazing how we start doing that? We start equating. Oh, they've had a lot of physical sickness this year. I'm wondering. Maybe they got something hid. You know, maybe they. Storms do not indicate whether we are in or out of the will of God. That's why sometimes I don't know whether to curse the devil or bless God that it didn't work out. I don't know if it was God stopping or the devil preventing it. But I figure if the devil did prevent it, if God wants it to happen, it's going to come around another way. But I'm just going to praise the name of the Lord anyway. That's what Job learned how to do. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Sometimes he gives and sometimes he takes. And what we do sometimes when he's given, we're going to bless his name. We're going to bless his name. And when he takes away, we're going to start cursing the darkness and cursing the devil. And it's nothing but the hand of the Lord. Amen. Giving and taking. taken away. But what me and you have to do is whether the Lord is giving or the Lord is taking away, blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, blessed be the name of the Lord in sickness and in health. Blessed be the name of the Lord with money or in poverty. Blessed be the name of the Lord in sunshine and rain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. But a storm makes us forget how faithful God has been to us. That's what a storm can do to a man. Can I preach to you what Jesus can do to a storm? I know what a storm can do to me, because a storm has done it over and over again. But your Bible said that Jesus was on a mountain watching them. But that storm did not prevent him from making his arrival and making his appearance. I don't care how little or how big the storm is. I said, he is greater. He is greater than your storm. And when the time is right, here comes Jesus and is walking on the water. I said, he's greater than sickness. He's greater than the storm. He's greater than death itself. And here he comes walking on the water. What can Jesus do to a storm? Peace. Be still. It is I. Be not afraid. I'd love for him to do that for some of you here this morning. If you could just hear him say, it is I. It is I. Be not afraid. But here, we got to remember something right here. Peter stepped out of that boat. And the third thing I want to preach to you about is what Jesus can do to a man in a storm. I know what a storm can do to a man, and I know what Jesus can do to a storm. But you know what Jesus can do to a man in a storm? He can cause you to get down out of the boat and walk in the midst of a storm. Notice. That storm doesn't stop till Jesus gets in the boat. But in the meantime, I don't know how high this boat was, but it wasn't a canoe. There was 12 of them in that boat. I don't know how high it was, but it wasn't a canoe. It wasn't a little John boat. The Bible said he had to come down. I don't know how big that boat was, but he come walking down out of that boat. The storm was still raging. The wind was still blowing. That thing which had scared them, that thing which made them see a spirit, that thing that made them cry out for fear, that thing that made them say, we're going to die. But Jesus put something inside of Peter that had come walking down out of that boat. I'm telling you what Jesus can do to a man in a storm. The wind can blow and the winds can howl. The rain can beat and the boat can rock. But if you've got peace and joy, you can lift your hands toward heaven and worship him anyway and come walking on the water. Oh, glory be to the name of Jesus. That which you thought was going to take you down, God can make you walk on it. God can make you step high and step proud and go walking on the raging seas and the raging storm. Some of you need to tell the devil in that storm, I'm not going to be defeated. I'm going to leave this church house walking on that storm. I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm tired of being depressed. I'm tired of staying up at night. I'm coming down out of this boat. I'm going to walk on this thing. Devil, you've had me down long enough. I'm going to walk on you. Amen. The timing is important, because a lot of times, man, we'll shout when the storm is over. But Jesus can make you get out of that boat. John Ortberg said, if you're going to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. What do you think those other 11 did? You think they were trying to hold him back? What do you think they were doing? I don't know. It's your commentary and my commentary. What do you think they were doing? Crazy, crazy boy. Crazy fool. Crazy man. What's he trying? Who's he think he is? Who's he think he's trying to be? Gonna bury him right here. Gonna go down in a watery grave. Get back up here, Peter. You don't know what you're doing. There's always going to be somebody trying to hold you back. Right. 11 people still sitting in the boat. Pretty comfortable in the boat, isn't it? But Peter said, I can beat this thing. I can beat this thing. But you see, what I felt on my heart this week was, it wasn't the storm he was trying to conquer. It was the Savior he was trying to get to. He missed Jesus. I mean, he didn't get out of the boat and just, woo, shout on water. He was trying to get to Jesus. How do you know that? Because when he started to sink, he was at the feet of Jesus. Save me. He wanted to get to Jesus. We're talking about the storms way too much. Men are writing books about how to beat the storm. 7 steps to a better self-esteem. 6 steps to a financial miracle. 12 steps to church growth. Everything's 12 steps, this or that. It's all about the storm. What about Jesus that you miss? Do you miss him? Here he comes. And Peter says, he's going to pass us by. You know, Matthew and Luke, they don't record that. But Mark records that he said Jesus was going to pass by. Those other 11, they were going to sit there in the boat with the raging winds and talk about how bad they had it. And Jesus was going to pass by. He was leaving them. He wanted somebody to get out of that boat. Oh, my. He wanted somebody that in the midst of a trial that said, Lord, we got to have you. I've got to have you. I want to feel your presence. I want to worship you anyway. I've got to get to Jesus. I just come in here this morning. I don't know how high the boat you're riding in. I don't know how big your family is. And there's over 200 people in this auditorium. I don't know what you've got to do, but I challenge you today, if you're in the midst of the storm of your life, walk down out of that boat. Forget about the storm. Forget about the raging seas. Forget about the winds. I said, there's Jesus. I said, here comes Jesus. Here comes the Son of God. Here comes your answer. And let's get to Jesus. Would you stand with me right now? Lift your hand toward heaven and say, oh God, we've got to have help here today. Lord, we need a miracle from heaven. We need your presence. Oh God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh God, let there just be one in the house of the Lord that says, oh, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. Oh, I've got to get to Jesus. I need to get to the Lord. Let me ask you, friend, do you miss him? Maybe you've been saved before. Do you miss him? Maybe you're not where you should be with God. Do you miss him? Do you miss him? Do you miss him? You see, storms are going to come your way either way, saved or unsaved. It rains on the just and the unjust. The missing part of the equation. I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. He's my joy. He's my peace. He's my song. He's my praise. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. I need to get to Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around in this auditorium this morning, Amen. How many lift a hand toward heaven and say, Brother Ralston, I need to get to Jesus today. I'm a backslider, but I need to get to Jesus. I've never been saved. I need to get to Jesus. I've drifted away. I need to get to Jesus. You just lift your hand right now and say, Brother Ralston, pray for me because I'm going to try to make my way back to Jesus. Any hands lifted in this auditorium this morning? Hallelujah. God bless that one hand. Any other hands this morning? Hallelujah. Come on. Get down out of that boat. It's going to take courage, I know. You might have to leave friends behind, I know. You might have to leave family behind, I know. But let's get to Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. How many more said, Brother Ralston, I'm in a storm right now. And I want you to pray for me. Because I begin to imagine things. I begin to worry about things. I begin to see things. And it's not even real yet. It's just in my mind. God bless these hands. Any more hands lifted this morning? Many, many hands. The devil will try to get your mind racing 1,000 miles an hour that God doesn't love you, God will never save you, you've done too much to be saved. I'm going to tell you, he's with you in the midst of your storm this morning. You need to look your storm square in the face and say, he's greater. He's greater. He's greater. Maybe a storm of financial despair, maybe a storm of sickness, mental, emotional. He's greater. He's greater than that storm. He's greater than that storm. If you hold on to Jesus, you're going to be all right. In just a moment, the church is going to come and pray. If you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to come to this altar with us as well. Just invite Jesus into your heart and your life. Pray the simple prayer. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord and the Savior of your life. We'd love for you to do that. You're more than welcome to kneel at your pew or come to this altar with us. As the church begins to come right now, amen. If you're visiting with us, friend, we'd love for you to make your way to this altar. Maybe kneel at your pew. Invite Jesus into your heart and your life. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we give you honor and glory.
Till the storm,
bless your name, Jesus.
Over, till the
bless your name, Jesus.
Sounds no more.
Bless your name, Jesus.
Till the clouds roll forever from the sky.
Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. He's greater. He's greater. He's greater.